I would just like to make a really foul point that Allie has a fucking straw in her martini tonight.
I was just going to say, I'm drinking my martini with a straw. Okay, well, the thing that started this was Madison made my martini. That bitch.
Every time I make her martini every night.
No, but then she put ice in it for whatever weird reason.
I just felt like it wasn't cold enough.
So then I couldn't sip on it without getting ice in my mouth.
I put like 3 ice cubes. She's a big ass drama queen.
No, and they were like the little pebble cubes. Ice.
It's like having
pebble ice.
It's having like ice shards in your martini. It's super normal.
I don't want that. So I put a straw and she's been gunning me all night for my straw.
Because like you're not supposed to drink martinis. Like,
well, now like I don't need the straw.
It's like drinking a beer out of a straw. Like it just fucks it all up.
It's just not quite the same thing actually.
Well, cheers to Bad Therapy episode 27.
27, cheers.
Welcome to Bad Therapy, episode number 27.
27. We're here. We made it. I am going to immediately start ranting. So all of my bitches that
I'm gonna immediately start chugging my drink while she rants.
All of my girlies, not my bitches, all of my girls out there that are on the same page as me, because I know there's a lot of us. There's a lot of girls right now going through breakups, dealing with situationships that aren't working out. Shitty men, shitty situations, being with people that make you question your worth, make you think that love doesn't actually exist. And I know I was all gung-ho a couple weeks ago.
Literally last week.
Literally talking about how, oh, just wait, someone will come along and make you change your mind. Listen, I retract.
A lot can change in 2 weeks, folks.
I'll be honest, okay? This is why we take it to the grave until there's a ring.
Fucking put that shit on the podcast.
Okay, let me just say. The person that I recently was talking to that I am no longer speaking with, he was a sweet change of pace. Like, he actually made me realize that there are good men out there and that I do deserve exactly what I need, which is someone that can communicate, someone that gives a shit, someone that's thoughtful and considerate and kind, and like all of these things that I feel like, and it sounds silly, but like those were the main qualities that were lacking so heavily in my prior relationships.
Yeah, I mean, this guy actually treated you well, and that sounds terrible, but like you've never really been treated
well.
But like,
not only just treated me well, because like obviously I've had guys that have treated me well, but like he fit my personal needs.
Your personal standard for like what your personal love language is.
For what I need. And Madison always tells me like, Allie, you need someone so specific.
Yeah, she really does.
Like if she's like, which, you know, doesn't make me feel great.
It's like a fucking,
like, and it's true though.
The golden goose.
It's true though. And sometimes I doubt like whether it's out there or not. And like the last person I spoke to really made me feel like I had found it, but there were things that as we do as women, we look over things because we want it to work, right? He treated me so good, which was something that I hadn't had in my most recent relationships, situationships. And the things that I overlooked, they were minor in my mind at the time because they were things such as like personality things. Like when him and I were together, we got along great and this and that, but like he was very shy. I'm very not shy. I'm very the opposite of that. And so I imagine my life, once it got a little more serious, what would my life look like with someone who doesn't have the same like ambitions?
Who's introverted? Like they don't have the social skills or social like
ambition to be social. Yeah. Like they don't have the desire to have a social life in the way that I do, you know? And I thought, you know, we always think we can change people. I thought, oh, well, maybe once he sees my life and like my friends, maybe he'll want that and he'll want this and this and that. And like, he'll have fun and I can show him the world.
Immediately,
you know?
Thinking about changing him. Like that's,
but I didn't think of it like that. I just thought, oh, there's no way this person, because he was so funny and kind and charming and smart and like witty and all these things that I was like, he'll fit in perfectly with all of my friends.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine that somebody wouldn't want that. Maybe just bring them out of their shell. Yeah.
Wouldn't want that. So I was like, maybe he just needs, and you know, he's new to this town or whatever. Maybe he just needed like a little step in the right direction with people. And I realized that that's actually not what he was looking for.
What he wanted.
Yeah, what he wanted. That's not the life he wanted. And I had to really assess within myself whether or not that was something that I wanted for myself. Like I had to consider whether or not the way that he treated me was worth sacrificing like the life that I imagined for myself. And it was a very difficult decision, and he's still an amazing person, and like I'm honestly pretty upset about it. It's like a very recent thing, but yeah, it's over now. And what's funny, and this is why I want to rant about this, because you think you know somebody until you break up or until something goes wrong. Real. And then you really see their true colors. And I don't know if I'm just naive and too soft or something, but whenever I've gone through a breakup with someone or a falling out or whatever, like, I still care. My feelings don't change. Like, if they reach out, I'm going to respond. And that's probably a fault on me because Madison is not like this. Like, Madison won't reply. She has self-respect.
I'll, like, cold turkey that bitch.
Like, but I feel for the person that I 2 days ago loved or cared for or talked to, or you know, whatever it may be. Like, I'm just the type of person that cares. And so whenever I go through these situations where something ends and then all of a sudden they don't care. They don't care to text you back. They don't care what you're going through. They don't care how you feel. They don't care if you're upset. They just do not give a fuck. That's not how I operate. And it's really hard for me to comprehend, understand.
Or like let go
or just like give space to that person or give grace while they're going through whatever they're going through, just because that's not how I handle those type of situations. And that's something that I've said on this podcast before, is like, you can't expect people to feel and act
the same way that you do. Well, that's the difference between like a highly emotional person and a highly logical person.
Yeah.
It's like, you are feeling a lot of emotions. Like, you know, you break up with somebody and you still care. You're still emotional. Whereas like someone who is highly logical says, okay, I do still care. I do still have feelings, but like, this is what needs to happen in order to move on. And like, you're not able to, and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You're not able to differentiate your emotions from the logistics when your emotions are really high. Yeah.
Well, cause for me, even if I were able to though, because it's not like in this situation specifically, I mean, in any situation, it's not like I'm blind to the logic, right?
Right.
This specific situation, I feel like although I can see and understand why this may not be something that can come to fruition in the long term, or why this may be something that should end, it doesn't change the fact that like, if they were to be upset or need some sort of conversation or closure or solace from me,
you'd be there.
I would be there. And that is just, it's my fault in the dating world, because then I feel like it almost makes me look weak in the situation. Like, I'm not trying to be this cold-hearted, strong, careless person that a lot of people try to embody after a breakup. Like, I truly am such a soft ass bitch.
Yeah. Even if they did something terrible to
you.
Yeah.
Like, I just care. And I don't know. That's just how I process things.
Well, I think that's the thing about this situation specifically, is it's kind of hard to walk away from somebody or leave something when they didn't really do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like, when there was no falling out, there was no toxic, there was no tragedy, there was nothing bad that happened. It just wasn't the right person.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's really easy to walk away from somebody when they've done something horrible.
But
to
even
me.
For me, like,
no, you're going to stick around.
No, like, that's what I'm saying, is like, this situation, yes, it's very different, but I'm speaking in terms of like, even someone that's done me really wrong, like if they were to reach out and like need something or feel upset or feel hurt, like, I'm never going to leave someone high and dry. Maybe I should, because maybe I would leave a relationship with like an ounce of my own dignity. But at the end of the day, that's just not who I am. And I've never been good at faking those types of things. And I feel like a lot of the times, maybe it's a good thing, because you're showing someone like, I'm choosing me, right?
Yeah.
For me, it's like, choosing me means caring for you in a sense, because that makes me feel better.
Yeah, because you don't feel right about yourself if you were to just like cut someone off or cold turkey.
Yeah, like I would spend the rest of my life thinking about it until I finally talked to them and made things right or whatever. That's just...
Yeah, and I think that probably stems from like not really having that space as a child to like communicate your feelings.
Oof, we're getting deep.
I know, that therapy. But like, I think where you don't differentiate is that you cannot let someone back in your life that is going to hurt you or that doesn't respect you. Well, you're not going to get anything out of that.
One thing I will commend myself for as of recently, in like the last few relationships that I've been in, or situationships or whatever the fuck we want to call them, is truly getting to a place where I realize like, I need to choose me, because if you're not looking at my best interest, if you're looking at what's best for you, then I'm going to look at what's best for me. And sometimes what's best for you feels like what makes the sadness go away, or what makes the pain go away, or at least in my mind.
The instant gratification.
Yeah. Because I don't want to feel that pain, and I don't want to go through this, and I don't want to deal with that. But lately I've found a lot of power in choosing me, meaning choosing things that I don't necessarily want, but I know are the best option for me. Like,
and in the long run are going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
But it's that instant, that high emotion that you feel that kind of pulls you out of that. And you're like, okay, well maybe I made a mistake, or
like I needed to be satisfied.
Maybe I should be there for them. Yeah.
Freak the F out.
Cause you feel these strong, intense feelings. And I think a lot of women, you feel these crazy feelings, especially in a toxic and abusive situation when somebody comes back, and you have to like push it away, because when you're able to step a couple of feet back, and instead of it being this close,
you can see it more clearly.
And then it doesn't feel that intense, but you have to get to that point.
And that's why space and time between these things are so important, which I am so bad at, because I'm such an like in the moment type bitch. Yeah. So I've been trying to be better at like giving space and time to things. But ultimately what I've just realized is trust your gut with these things, because if something doesn't feel right, bottom line, the person that you're meant to be with is never going to make you wonder if you're right for them, is never going to make you feel sad. You're never going to spend an entire night up crying, wondering if they love you. You're never going to wonder if they're out cheating on you. You're never going to spend one moment of your time feeling the way you feel about all of these fuckboys in the past, if it is the right person.
Absolutely. Because if somebody cares about you, you're not going to question it.
Your person, your soulmate, the one, will never make you feel the way you feel right now.
But I think this is a really good example of how every relationship that we go through is a lesson to get us closer to the person that we're supposed to be with.
Absolutely.
Because for you, it's like you've had so many toxic relationships, so many. Friends a slut. For you, you've had toxic relationships, you've had healthy relationships, you've had situationships, and now you've had a guy who treated you differently than you're used to. Very nice and very connective, and something that you were looking for, right? And that is something now, a lesson that you can take into the next person and say, okay, this is an absolute necessity for me, but so is this. And I think as women, as people, I know we talk about women on the pod, because it's a girl's pod,
we love our men.
You know, absolutely. As people, especially people who have been in toxic relationships, when you get into a nice, normal relationship, you have boxes that are important to you that you have to check when you meet people. And you might check 80% of those boxes, and you're willing to look the 20% that isn't checked, because your last relationship, there was 3% checked, or whatever that may be. There's never going to be a person that checks 100%, but there's going to be a person that checks so many boxes that the little irrelevant boxes that aren't checked don't matter.
Well, something that's not talked about enough is the fact that our first ever toxic relationship is our parents. For some of us, not for everybody, but I think a lot of my relationship attachments and traumas, you know, love my parents. They didn't do it on purpose. They're people too. We're all just trying to figure out this life, but that was my first connection to any relationship that I've ever had. And I genuinely feel like it's not talked about enough how much that relationship truly molds your future for romantic relationships.
And affects the people that you're going to choose to be with.
What you look for, who you decide to keep around you, what you feel you deserve. It's the blueprint for all of the relationships that you will be in.
Absolutely. And like, you have to figure, this is why, like, when you're younger and you don't have the frontal lobe capacity or the emotional maturity to pick the right people, I mean, you're immediately, that's why you're a lot more inclined to be in toxic relationships when you're younger, because those blueprints, especially if you've had traumatic blueprints, you haven't learned yet.
They say that you accept the love you think you deserve. And it's taken me, I'm 25, I'm almost 26 now. It's taken me almost 26 years of my life to finally feel like I deserve a good love. And I don't blame that on, you know, my parents or my childhood or anything like that. But I do think that that had a huge effect on how I subconsciously viewed myself and viewed relationships.
And probably the most triggering thing that I ever heard is that the love that you're willing to accept for yourself is a direct reflection of how much you love yourself. So like,
bars.
If you're traumatized and you have a traumatized childhood and you think that that is the love that is acceptable, and you never really felt loved as a child or whatever it is, that's the love that you're going to accept in a relationship. I think this is hugely important to breaking generational trauma, mm-hmm. because the issue is you go your whole life with these thoughts and these feelings, and they're subconscious. You don't even realize
right.
that this is how you were raised and now how you function. Mm-hmm. But if you don't learn and adjust and grow, your children are going to go through the exact same thing, mm-hmm. because the person that you choose to end up with is the person that your children are going to end up with too. If you end up with someone who is abusive and narcissistic and mean and unkind and unloving and uncaring, your children
are going to have to deal with
that. Are going to be raised by somebody who is just like that.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to accept that for your children, you should not be having kids.
Children. Yeah.
Because that's not love.
Yeah.
And they're going to pass it on to their kids and their kids and their kids. And then 20 generations down the road, we still have a fucked up society of people who are unhealed.
And I think there's something to be said for all of the women and men out there that are currently breaking generational curses.
Because it is so difficult to end generational trauma because you don't even realize that you're doing it or that you're creating it or that you're a part of it until it's too late.
Because when you're a kid, all you want is to be loved and cared for.
I think the most instrumental years, and people don't even realize this, is like 0 to 4. Before you really can even talk, walk, articulate, ask for things. This is the age where, you know, they say skin to skin contact with the mother, or even like dropping your kids off at daycare can cause abandonment or anxiety issues.
No, they say that literally something as small as you being left at home for an hour while your mom goes to the grocery store and you don't think she's coming back for you when you're a child can instill lifelong damage in you, that you have abandonment wounds now for the rest of your life because you didn't think your mom was coming back. And that's with you forever. And the only way to overcome that is to like go to therapy and dive deep into where that fear originated from.
Well, and that's exactly it. When it comes to breaking generational trauma, it all comes to taking accountability for your own emotions, because you have to be able to, no one's going to grow up perfect. That doesn't happen, but you have to be able to take accountability for growth and for accepting, not even just accepting, but realizing what your problems are. Because a lot of us, I think we just sweep things under the rug and we don't even realize.
I think our current generation is doing a good job at breaking that barrier down, because I think the older generations, like our parents and their parents, that is what they would do. They would sweep it under the rug. Like, this doesn't hurt me. I don't feel this. Being in pain or being upset is known as weakness to them.
Yeah.
Whereas to us, that's strength, because I truly do believe that the strongest thing you can do for yourself is to feel your emotions. And like, that sounds so silly, but do you know how hard it is to feel your emotions? Do you know how easy it is to sweep them under the rug and pretend like they don't exist?
Well, and that's why it's so important to pick a partner who can do that, who's capable of that. Because even if you're doing it all and your partner's not, like, your kids are going to see both sides of that. Your kids have to grow up in an environment where they feel safe and loved, and they see safety and love, right? Because kids are very impressionable. It's not just what you say.
They absorb everything around them. And that goes into like the generational curses and being broken and being a child and being traumatized and having all of these, you know, wounds that are created when you're a child that I don't think are inflicted on purpose, that I actually know were not inflicted on purpose.
But in most cases. Yeah.
In most cases, but it's like, that's where it's so important to recognize everything you do when you're with your kids matters.
Yeah. And like, honestly, this is where the argument of kids going to daycare or not comes in, because like, no shame whatsoever to people who put their kids in daycare. I get it. Zero shame. But for me, it's like, I am terrified to let somebody else raise or be around my children when they're in that impressionable stage, because you can't control what happens when they're not with you.
Yeah. And God forbid something really bad
they
happens.
They go to daycare and they get, I mean, this is the best case scenario. They just get bullied. Worst case scenario is something a hell of a lot worse, and you can't control it. And I saw this thing that said, why would you want to pay somebody else to raise your kids so that you can go make money to pay somebody else to raise your kids? It's like,
right? Like, just go raise your kids.
You know how fucking expensive daycare is?
It's very expensive.
And I'm talking, we got a lot of flack on our last video, like, kids go to school 8 hours a day. I'm talking infants to four, before they're in kindergarten, before they're in preschool. We're talking about the 0 to 4 age range, where it's before kindergarten, before they're, I'm not saying that you shouldn't send your kids to school. Like, once they are old enough to kind of understand, articulate, make decisions, and tell you verbally if something bad has happened to them, okay, they can go to school. But that 0 to 4, extremely impressionable and vulnerable age, why would you pay somebody else to watch them when you're out making money so you have enough money to pay somebody else to watch them?
Yeah, I feel like there could be a better system in place.
But this is the issue, is like, this in this economy, a one family income, it usually is not enough. Mm-hmm. So you have to go out and work, and then you don't have the opportunity. I can't even imagine what it would feel like to be a mother who was ripped away from their young children because they had to go work.
Yeah.
And then something bad happens to your kid. The guilt, the shame that you would take on. Like, it's just a fucked up society we live in. We used to live in a society where, like, raising children and raising your family and being a mother and a homemaker was the only fucking thing that mattered. Mm-hmm. Because you raise kids who are good and who can do good things in the world, instead of a kid that got, like, fucking molested.
I would argue, though, that our generation is the best example of that, because I feel like the generations prior to us, they haven't really cared about those things. They have been more focused on work. They have been more focused on their own personal lives. They have been more focused on themselves than raising children. And I feel like this is the first generation that I've seen where collectively we are all very brutally aware of the effects that that has had on us.
On us specifically,
and
yeah.
And how we want to change that. And as a generation, break that curse.
You're so right. I feel like it's coming back around. Mm-hmm. Like the generations, we go in circles because yeah. weak people create strong people who create weak people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And yes. so like, I feel like two generations ago, like our grandparents
were so strong.
My grandma had three yeah. fucking jobs. Okay. Yeah. Like these people worked their asses off and like, it just was not the same. They didn't have technology. They didn't have social media. They didn't scroll on their phones. They went to work. They milked the cow. I don't know what else they did. Some crazy shit from the 1600s. That's my grandma. And then they had our parents. And our parents had a little bit more freedom. And I feel like our generation of parents, they partied quite a bit. Like this was a very drug heavy generation, a very kind of responsibility free generation, but still not us. Mm-hmm. And then they created us, who's like the most, I feel like, emotionally intelligent generation.
Very emotionally aware, yeah. I feel like our generation is a lot more particular of who they choose to be with. It's not so much anymore just like, let's marry, settle down, and have kids.
Let's get married when we're 15. And
it's like women are now in their 30s and mid-30s choosing to be alone because... Well, I don't know if it's always been this way. Obviously, I've only been alive for 25 years, but the men are not menning the way that they fucking should be. And something that I heard recently that I really fucking liked because it's something that I struggle with, the let them theory. If someone is going to break up with you, if someone's going to leave you, if someone doesn't want you around anymore, let them. If it's a friend, if it's a boyfriend, if it's a family member, whatever the case may be, let them be them. Release control. I have a problem with trying to control situations, and all it does is stress me the fuck out.
All it does is fuck up your peace.
I just worry and I worry and I worry. And you know what? Worrying does not fix or change the outcome of any situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if someone wants to leave you, let them. Let them leave. Let them say, I wish you the best, and let them go. And I know it's hard, but when you are trying so hard to control the outcome of a situation, maybe you want to beg this person to stay because you love them so much. The reason you're trying to beg them to stay is because you're trying to control the situation. The way that you take your control back is just by letting them leave. Let them. That's the thing. Like, choose yourself because they're not choosing you. So why are you fighting for someone that isn't choosing you? And when do you come into the picture? The only time that you come into the picture is when you put yourself first. Choose yourself and let them leave.
And the only thing you're doing when you don't let them is fucking up your own peace
and dignity. And if you want to walk out of any relationship with like the smallest shred of dignity,
let them leave.
Here's one thing that I've learned. If someone's going to cheat on you, they're going to cheat on you no matter what. No amount of worrying, no amount of losing sleep, no amount of checking their phone, keeping tabs on where they are, checking their stories, telling them they can't go somewhere, letting them go somewhere, going with them places just to keep an eye on them. If someone is going to cheat on you, they are going to cheat on you, and no amount of worrying or lost sleep is going to prevent that. So girl, if you're up late at night worried about this guy, go to sleep. If he's out with his friends and you're worried he's gonna cheat on you, we may have other things to be concerned about, the fact that you may be worried about that, but like, go to sleep.
Because there's nothing you can do to change it.
You losing sleep
yeah.
is not going to change the outcome of that situation.
And looking through his phone and not allowing him to go out with his friends and trying to control the situation is not going to change the outcome of that situation.
No.
There's nothing you can do about the way that somebody's going to treat you. If somebody's going to treat you like that, if you're worried about someone treating you like that,
then we should reassess.
You probably shouldn't be with them in the first place, right.
But if it's coming from past traumas where you're like, well, I've been done dirty in the past and I can't trust, like, all I have to say is you worrying yourself sick at night while he's out with his friends, or you stalking their story or stalking his friends' stories or whatever the case may be, because we've all done it, is not going to A, answer your questions, or B, prevent him from cheating on you. If you're dating someone that is capable of cheating on you, then he's gonna, you know, do it no matter what.
You can't stop him. There's nothing that you can do, say, feel that's gonna stop him from doing that. And that's where you need to take accountability for your own feelings and say, hey, I'm feeling like this because A, either past trauma, or B, you're fucking shady, mm-hmm. and take it from there. But disrupting your own peace is not gonna solve the problem.
And Madison might be able to speak on this a little bit more heavily, but like, I feel like if you're with someone where you feel that concerned, maybe don't be with them. Because I feel like
at all
you shouldn't have to worry.
Well, and it's funny that you say that because I actually have a story time about this. So the person that I'm with now, I don't worry about him cheating at all in any way, shape, or form. Like he goes to a bachelor party in Vegas. He goes to see his army friends in Miami. Like I do not worry. Bachelorette yeah. party. I do not worry about it at all. And I'm someone who's very traumatized with cheating. So you'd think that that would carry over. But when the point of this is that when you're with a person who makes you feel safe, you don't worry. So in a previous relationship, this guy was like a serial cheater. This is the domestic abuser that we have mentioned many times. He would
come, me throwing up.
He would go out and I would like fucking pull my hair out. Like I just knew. And he would come home and his phone would be clean because I'd scroll through it aggressively. One night he went out and he came home late, and in the morning his phone had a text message that he didn't have time to delete yet, and it was from a number that wasn't saved, and it was like, I had so much fun last night, it was great hanging out with you. I march my happy ass downstairs and I call it. She was like, hey baby. And I was like, hey baby, who is this? Who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And I was like, this is his girlfriend. Who am I speaking to? Why were you texting him? What happened? She proceeds to tell me this whole story about how, one, he's very single. Two, they've been seeing each other for weeks, okay? Tells me everything, spills the tea. So I go upstairs, I'm packing my shit in a bag, all my shit in a garbage bag, being really dramatic, and he wakes up. The man proceeds to lie through his teeth. My dumbass believes him, even after I talk to this girl on the phone, stays with him. A couple of weeks later, he goes out again. I'm pulling my hair out again. He doesn't think I'm at the house, because we didn't live together at the time, and I'm upstairs in bed. Okay, at 3 a.m., sleeping. He doesn't know I'm there.
Yeah.
I hear him come home, and he's walking up the stairs, and I hear, like, laughing and giggling. And I was like, that's odd. This motherfucker walks into the bedroom, two wine glasses, a wine bottle, and a girl behind him. I'm sleeping in the bed. I sit up. I look at them, and she looks at me.
and I looked at her.
This bitch is the same girl that talked to me on the phone. Okay, mm-hmm. So for one, fuck you.
Yeah.
She runs, beelines. This man proceeds to try and lie himself out of this situation.
It's the she's cleaner.
She's cleaning. She's here to clean the vents.
She's right? Cleaning. It's 4 a.m.
Every lie that you could possibly come up with. I'm like, with a bottle of wine and two wine glasses, mm-hmm. coming to the bedroom. I'm like, oh my.
I knew you were going to be here, baby.
Oh my. I know. He's like, yeah, I knew. I thought we would all hang out together. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the point to this story is, you know, if a man is not a trustworthy man, you get bad feelings if a man's going to cheat on you. You see the red flags. And that's not always going to translate, because when you meet a person who cares about you and respects you and loves you, you can let go of that trauma as long as they make you feel safe too.
Yeah. And I think that's the key here is like, trust your gut. Like if your gut is telling you you need to stay up all night and worry about this man cheating on you, I'm not saying stay up all night, like go to bed, but just know that ain't your man.
He ain't your man.
And I understand like coming out of a relationship that traumatized you, maybe like the first few nights where he goes out without you, you might feel like that and it might take some time, okay? Communicate that to your partner. Like don't just go balls to the walls, looking through his phone, treating him like he's cheating on you. Make sure he gives you like viable reasons to be acting that way. But at the same time, know the difference between trauma and your gut.
And don't be toxic, but also don't accept bullshit from people.
Yeah, like if you're feeling this way because it's from your trauma, be able to decipher that. Because if the person you're with has never made you feel that way or feel like they can't be trusted, then don't ruin it by bringing whoever fucked you over's trauma back into your current relationship. Communicate to them. Say, hey, this is bothering me and this is why, and I'm not blaming you for this, but like, this is how I feel and it's really affecting me. You'll talk about it the next time they go out. You don't get to feel that way after that.
And they can communicate. Like that's why it's all about communication.
And if you do feel that way, you should be able to communicate that to them without them getting defensive if they have nothing to hide.
Or being shitty about it.
If they truly care about your emotions and your past, then they're not going to get mad at you for communicating. The only time that I think it's justified for them to get mad at you is if you just jump to conclusions.
Absolutely. And this is where it all comes down to the morals of a man. Because if you're with a guy and he cheated on his girlfriend with you, and that's why you guys are together.
Yeah, you're going to be up all night worried about where the fuck he is, but ma'am.
And if he's a serial cheater in the past, he's a past of cheating, ma'am. But if he's a good guy with good morals and a good values and respects you and loves you and you feel genuinely safe with this person, like you said, you're allowed to have feelings about it, but don't let that ruin a good thing.
Like, let them help you heal that trauma inside of you. Whether that's your person or it's not, like, let them bring some faith back in men into you, like, instill that there are good men out there at the end of the day.
And if that man cheats on you,
then we rise at dawn. Then we rise at dawn.
Like, literally call your girls on the fucking pod. Like, it's
also,
it's
I would done. Just like to make a controversial take right now. Fuck dating the ugly guy.
Ally Cruz.
A man is a man is a man. And a piece of shit is a piece of shit is a piece of shit.
I would just like to make a point that the guy who treated me the absolute worst is the ugliest the fucking guy busted. I've ever... Like, what That's the what fuck? I'm saying.
But you know what it is? Is because when a man feels threatened or not good enough or insecure or like you're out of their league, they self-sabotage. They try to bring you down. They try to just annihilate your self-esteem to make you match theirs.
My ex used to always say to me, you are not cute enough to act the way that you do.
Whoa,
I don't know who told you you were pretty enough to act the way you do, but you're not. You're not that cute. You're not that fucking pretty. Come back down to earth. Then he'd go cheat on me. I'm like, make it make sense.
That makes me want to skin him alive.
And that's that on Bad Therapy episode 27.
Episode 27.
Cheers.
Please come back next week. Bye.